Welcome, everyone. I'm Kimberly Bushman, and this is the Intentionally Intuitive Podcast. Today, we're going to take a look at relationships and numerology. So I highly recommend listening to the intro so that you understand sort of what to listen for and why. So what we're going to be looking at is, based on our own personal numerology, what we tend to look for in a partner. Now, this can be for a romantic partner. This can be for friendships, who we surround ourselves with. But this is not about compatibility, okay? Compatibility, when we look at compatibility in numerology, that's very different than what we're looking at today. In compatibility, we're looking at the numerology of each individual and how they sort of interplay, how those energies interplay, and how to open the lines of communication and how to work with one another and where there might need to be some extra effort put into that connection to make it work, right? Based on, again, the vibrations of the numbers. But in compatibility, we look at the numerology of each individual. And I do actually offer in-depth compatibility reports and readings on my website. So if you're interested in that, just book some time with me. My information is in the description box below. But today, we're actually going to be looking at our own unique numerology and what that says about sort of who we attract, what we look for in another partner or another person, right? Again, it can be any kind of relationship. Now, one thing that I will say is this energy that we look for is based on our life path number and our birthday number. And I've got the calculations down below in the description box for how to calculate for both your life path number and your birthday number. And I recommend listening for both because both interplay and play a part in, again, who we or what we look for as far as characteristics in another person, in another relationship. Now, this is what we subconsciously and consciously look for in a partner based on our own personal numerology. So what I mean by that is, obviously, when we're consciously aware of what we're looking for, it makes sense, right? There's active traits that we are seeking out in another person. But when we subconsciously do that, that's more the soul saying, this is a connection, or these are experiences that we need to have to learn something from this individual, to learn something from this soul contract. And so we can subconsciously seek out sort of the lower vibrations of the energy to teach us something. And so in this reading today, I'm going to talk about the higher and the lower vibrations of the numbers in a way that will sort of explain what we can learn from both sides of it, right? The higher expression is what we want to sort of incorporate into our own journey, right? Because again, this is the life path number and the birthday number. But for the life path number, we often will seek out an individual who has those traits or those characteristics to teach us how to step into that energy. Because remember, the life path number is what we want to step into in this lifetime. And the lower vibrations of those numbers can hold wisdom, right? It has something for us to learn and to overcome and to see, you know, what we don't want to be or what we don't want to attract, right? It's what helps us to really see through another perspective the lower vibration of, let's say, the life path number so that we can recognize it within ourselves. So essentially, the other person becomes a mirror for us to see what it is, to see what that vibration looks like in the lower octave as well as the higher octave. I want to reiterate that it's not necessarily that the other person has this number as their life path or another prominent placement. So let's say that your life path number is 4. You might be seeking out, consciously or subconsciously, the vibration of the 4 in other people that you meet, but that doesn't mean that they have those numbers in their placements, right? In their report. So again, this is not compatibility. This is strictly based on your own numerology. What I will say about why we look at the life path and the birthday number. So again, the life path number, and again, I recommend listening for both. The life path number is, again, what we are seeking out in another person to sort of teach us how to step into that vibration. So typically, we would be looking for someone that has sort of mastered those characteristics, right? Those traits. And that can help us to step into that vibration, right? With the birthday number, this actually reminds us of who we are at our core, because the birthday number shows us what we've mastered in a past lifetime. It's the gifts that we already have innately that we brought forward in this lifetime. So when we seek out someone who has that vibration or has those characteristics, it reminds us of what we already have and can tap into. And so it sort of pushes us in that direction so that we can tap into those gifts, utilize them to help us to step into the life path number. And if we encounter someone who has the characteristics and traits of our birthday number and they're in the lower octave, it can remind us of how we don't want to use that energy in this lifetime, right? Again, essentially becoming a mirror and reminding us of, you know, again, that we want to be in the higher octave of that energy. So there's a lot to kind of take in. So again, if you have any questions, just let me know and I'll be happy to address them as I can in the comment section. But let's take a look at each life path and birthday number and the traits that that can hold for a potential partner, friend, colleague, etc., any relationship. All right, let's take a look. Life path or birthday number one. So you could be seeking out in another relationship someone who has the characteristics of the one. So first, let's talk about the lower expression of this energy. So this, of course, the one, of course, is a leadership type of energy. It's a very take charge, assertive, kind of go after what you want, self-assured, very much about self-identity, etc. So when it's in its lower vibration, it's a very, or can be a very self-centered energy where it takes up a lot of energetic space and requires sort of everything to be about that person with little to no room for their partner. So again, we're talking about, or we're going to look at the lower vibration first. So it's possible that you might have in the past or currently have seeked out someone with these lower vibrations so that you can overcome them, break free from them, and sort of evolve in your own way. So again, this would be someone who is very self-centered, more of a taker, takes up a lot of space, a lot of energy, and really doesn't have a whole lot of energetic space for another person. This is also someone who might lack confidence. So they constantly need self-reassurance or words of affirmation to confirm or to help to build them up, so to speak. But they lack the capacity to return that light to others. So they sort of become this drain on others' energy. And it, again, it becomes this sort of constant taking. And so the person on the receiving end becomes a constant giver, which of course can be very draining. A one energy in its detriment is very judgmental and cynical. And so it can sort of be the party pooper where it brings down the vibe and sort of rains on the parades of others, their optimism and their idealism. So it's kind of like that heaviness that you could be the most optimistic person, but being in the presence of this energy can drain that optimism and sort of move you towards cynicism if you're not careful. There's also this intense fear of failure in this lower vibration or imposter syndrome. So this can create an environment of lashing out at others or projecting insecurities or feelings of inadequacy onto others. And that creates a space that feels more sort of hostile than safe and secure. They can also be very rigid in their thoughts and their belief systems, and they could be unable to sort of see another's point of view or perspective, and unwilling to share ideas or to be open to another person's, again, contribution, believing that they have, that their way is the right way and the only way. And so it creates, of course, this dynamic that makes it very difficult to work efficiently or move towards more answers or solutions of a higher vibration. These can sometimes be people who fall into like a dictatorship. They want to be the head of the ship, and there's no compromise. It's a very much self-directed, very much self-oriented type of energy. They tend to be more of that dictatorship of a leader, as opposed to someone who aims to sort of lead alongside of others. So this can be a very restrictive, very intimidating sort of connection to be in. But again, it sort of forces the individual to reclaim their power and step into their own light and hopefully move beyond or through this connection into a higher octave. Now, if we're looking at the higher octave of the one energy, this is that person who is the leader that everybody wants to work with, because they lead alongside of others. They have great solutions and great ideas, and they really want to promote that cohesiveness and working together and sharing ideas and sharing creativity for the most effective and efficient way of doing something. And it doesn't just have to be, of course, work-related. These are people who are highly creative and highly confident in their attributes and their contributions and their worthiness. There's a strong sense of self, but not in an sort of ego dynamic sort of way. It's a very much like, I own my space, I've earned this space, and I want to share this space with others to create something very powerful and beneficial in the world. This is an energy that people are drawn to. People want to be a part of it, right? So again, these are the innovative leaders, the ones who use their ingenuity, their ideas, their inspirations, and move towards those greater visions and inspiration sort of unscathed by doubt, etc. It's again a very self-driven energy, but it's not egocentric. They're also not afraid to be unique, be different, be outside of the mold, right? Do things differently. They're very open to new ideas, fresh ideas. They're drawn to typically people who want to share their innovativeness, who want to progress, you know, to expand the world and expand the consciousness of the world in a big way. And they understand that they can't do that alone. So they usually, though they are leaders, they will call in us for assistance to work and collaborate with others to get there. It's a highly individual energy, and you can sense that, but there's also a strong interdependency where they can, again, very easily and cohesively work with others in a way that brings more good to the world. And so that is a light within itself. It's sort of like ones, or the people who have this type of energy, and they don't have to be a one, but people who have this type of energy or who have mastered it really sort of share their light and meet others at their light and want to share their light as well. So it becomes like this beacon of light. Let's just put that, not to sound cliche or corny, but also these are people who aren't afraid to take a risk. They're going to put themselves out there. They're going to throw themselves into whatever it is that they truly believe in. And they understand that by taking those risks, there's going to be, you know, I don't want to say failures, but there's going to be mistakes. There's going to be things that don't work out. And instead of allowing that to create self-doubt, they actually allow it to fuel them in a way where they extract the wisdom and build upon that wisdom and release whatever wasn't working, as opposed to seeing it as personal failure. So it takes a tremendous amount of courage, but these are people who have that courage and can do so in a non-egocentric, arrogant way, right? Because it's not about domination. It's about working together with a great leader. And these people have usually got that down. These are people who are great problem solvers, right? They're very solution focused. They want to find the resource, the solution that maybe hasn't been found before. And they want to bring that into the world to create a better world. And you can sense that about their demeanor, about their mannerisms, and their contributions in the world. Essentially, these are people who think ahead of their time and want to bring people in who can buy into that and help them to create this better world. So, of course, you can feel the difference in the vibration between the higher and the lower octaves of this energy, right? So if you're a life path one, you're going to likely seek out people who have mastered this one energy in some way, or they have these strong attributes, so that you can sort of gain greater direction and see sort of like, again, like a mirror, but also have sort of an energetic mentor of what the higher octave of this energy looks like and what it is that your soul is helping you to step into in this lifetime. And again, this can be through any relationship. And if you're listening for your birthday number, then you already have been through the lower octave and achieved the higher octave of this energy in a past life, and you've brought that forward in this lifetime. So you may attract people or seek out people who are in that higher octave to remind you of what you brought forward and what you are meant to tap into in this lifetime to help you to step into your personal life path number.